From the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Conference in Springfield, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with John Hester. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll check out the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way today, you'll hear an interview that I did earlier with USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey about FSA, NRCS. He's in charge of both of those organizations, when crop insurance premiums are due, and how to get your paperwork done not only for ARC and PLC and when that is due, but also about the Conservation Reserve Program sign up. There's a brand new sign up coming in 2020, and we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear the numbers as they finished in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. December corn today, a penny and a half lower, finished at $3.72. The March at $3.81 and a quarter down, three quarters in the May contract, three quarters of a cent higher. The settlement there at $3.87 and a quarter. July futures $3.91 and three quarters, up one and a half. And next year's December new crop at $3.92 and a quarter, up 1 cent for the day. Soy complex, January beans, a half higher at $8.71. The March at $8.85 and a half, up a quarter, and the May futures $9.75, 1/2 cent higher. July at $9.14, up a half, and November new crop at $9.25 and a half, 3/4 higher. The bean oil futures at $29.99, 3 cents higher. The bean meal up $1.20 at $2.92.50. Soft red winter wheat December contract nearby down 12¾ cents at $5.30 and a half. The July harvest month down 7¾ cents at $5.31 for the day. The hard red winter wheat, 14¾ cents lower in the lead, December at 422 and a half. July, the harvest there at 451, down three. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the December contract at $120.55, down 20 cents. February at down 15 at $125.65 for 100 pounds. And feeder cattle in the January up 22 and a half cents. The settlement price there at $142.37 and a half. The March at $142.92 and a half, down a dime for the day. December lean hog, $62.50, $2.15 higher, and the February up $2.22 and a half cents at $68.37 and a half cents. The crude oil's about 18 cents lower for the day. The ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil around 0.3 cents lower to $1.88 and 0.2 cents a gallon. That's diesel fuel, and the price of gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $1.56 and a half. That's just about 0.8 cents lower. The natural gas is up 12¾ cents to $2.45 and 2 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 370 points lower. The U.S. dollar is up, down 0.126. And the gold futures for the day at $1,477.80, about 15½ cents higher. Hey, it's Giving Tuesday, and if you have the opportunity, visit our website, willpledge.org, and make a donation right now in support of agricultural programming. You can just write that in the comments section, or you can do this. Dial 217-244-9455 to make that pledge of support really quick, simple, and easily. As we go into the holiday season, wouldn't it be great to support agricultural programming at Illinois Public Media? I think it would. Make sure you tell them, if you're calling them, that you're calling in support of agriculture, or to put that in the comments section. You can do a check. You can tell us that it's coming. You can do it by Discover, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, however you want to do it. Make sure that you tell them that you're supporting agriculture at Illinois Public Media, but do it right now, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Well, Wayne Nelson is out of the office this afternoon, but John Hester is here from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. John, tell me what happened in Chicago at the CME Group today.
They came out yesterday and said the corn harvest was 89% harvested. Export demand, they say, is building a little bit. The harvest slowed down because of the weather, and that should be giving a little strength to the corn market down the road, we hope. And that figures out in the corn that there's still about 680 million bushel corn left in the field.
That's a lot of corn left in the field. And I take it the trade was pretty subdued today.
Yes.
However, New York was down, I don't want to call 300 or 400 points sharply, particularly because, you know, at 28,000, the Dow's pretty high.
Yeah.
but it was down. This on the ideas that the president has been talking about China again, this time around saying that, well, maybe we don't have to do this until after the 2020 election is over with. So I suppose that must have been at least putting a little pressure on the marketplace or keeping it from moving very sharply in one direction or the other.
Yeah, and I think he was also talking that about the tariffs on steel and aluminum to South America, you know, probably weighed a little bit on it too. You know, he's trying to get them to stabilize the currency in South America a little bit so they won't devalue it every time and become more competitive with us. So, you know, there's three or four things going on, and Trump's at the center of all of it, and hopefully it'll be good when it's all washed out.
We'll see how that one works out over time. However, I want to come back to the local area, or relatively regional area there with you. You have a couple of places that draw, and I'm wondering how the ethanol plant locally is doing at this time. It's Cloverdale is shut down.
Cloverdale is shut down, yes. The Crawfords, or the Linden plant, is running. They're not running at 120 or 30% like they did at one time, but I think 90 to 100%. So that's grinding probably 90 to 100,000 bushel a day.
That's a lot of corn.
That's a lot of corn. That's the reason Cargill's been paying up for it. they're grinding basically 1,000 semi-loads of corn a day. I don't mean 1,000, I mean 100.
What's your expectations for the rest of the week?
I look for, my expectations are for maybe a little strength, hopefully find a little support in this area. You know, I don't see anything wildly to the upside, but I don't see anything wildly to the downside either. You know, the beans are grossly oversold, and, you know, the corn's kind of been in a trading range of 80 to 90. It's 375 to 390, somewhere in that range. So, you know, I think we're going to stay in the range and hopefully end up to the higher side of the range when it's all said and done this week.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a great day over there.
You too. That's John Hester. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Well, I'm at the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Conference in Springfield today, and USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey is here. By the way, it's Giving Tuesday. Don't forget, go online, willpledge.org. About 40% of the money that's used to operate the radio station here comes from you, and it's important that if this ag programming makes a big difference to you, that you help us out. We don't care really what amount, but on this Giving Tuesday, let us know. You can go to willpledge.org, or you can just call 217-244-9455. Thank you, Undersecretary Northey, for taking some time with us. And by the way, thank you. A few years back, I made a trip 500 miles to do a Will Ag Outlook in your part of the world where you farm there as a fourth-generation farmer in the northwestern part of Iowa.
Hey, great to see you, Todd. Great to be here. And it's just fun to be able to be here in Illinois and see a lot of those friends and certainly see you as well. And we get a chance to stay in touch once in a while, whether it's at a Farm Progress show or someplace else down at Farm Broadcasters or other places as well.
Hey, thanks so much. So I want to talk about this nutrient loss reduction strategy that's in place in Illinois. You mentioned upfront in your keynote, the folks here in Springfield, that Illinois has one of the best plans, you believe, in the nation. Why is that the case?
Well, I think it's comprehensive. It looks both at point source and non-point source. It looks at the many different pieces. It even provides kind of a a strategy on what it would take. It looks at how many acres of different kinds of practices it would take. The challenge to all these strategies, though, is implementing. It's tough to come up with the dollars. It's tough to come up with the people to be able to make it all happen. It's going to take a long time. It takes a commitment financially. I certainly would call out the legislature on their support. I think very constructive support for the incentive back to producers to be able to have cover crops by being able to get a cost share or a reduction in their crop insurance premium. I think those are the kinds of things that create momentum and more attention and more interest by producers and can cause us to move the implementation of these good plans even more quickly.
A couple of things. You mentioned more than once that conservation is regional, but it's about my farm. This is something that you have experience with on your own farm. You have gone through the transition over the decades there. Can you tell me what kinds of conservation you used on the Northey farm?
So when I went back to farm after graduating from Iowa State and farming with my grandpa back in northwest Iowa, we were still plowing at that time. We wouldn't always plow bean ground, but almost. Went to sometimes leaving bean ground until spring. Can you imagine? Until we did tillage. And then later, not doing tillage at all. And then I transitioned into a ridge till system where you just kind of have minimum traffic and don't do deep tillage. And then over time, with some of the tools we have now, both planter equipment as well as weed control methods, went to really complete no-till and then cover crops as well. Not the way my grandpa was farming that land, but something that, as I took time and figured out, was very happy to make those kinds of transitions. And those are all, as you pointed out in the question, are very personal decisions. It's a challenging thing to say, okay, I'm going to plant a cover crop on that, make something grow, and figure out how to handle that cover crop next spring when I got to plant into it or when I'm going to get it sprayed or other kinds of things. They're personal because you're dealing with other family members, you're dealing with landlords, you got neighbors that may or may not appreciate it, and especially things that are new to an area. But they have an impact off the farm regionally. They have an impact on the water quality in your own region. They have a small impact across, you know, a whole basin when you look at the Gulf of Mexico. But each of us, those small contributions, end up having a big impact across the region.
When you open your Twitter account, eventually you'll find that I was beginning to keep track of one phrase you used more than once during your presentation, which was about 40 minutes long, splitting nitrogen rates. Why was that?
It's been such a good practice. I think it really started with producers thinking about when does that crop need it, so it's a production decision. But it's also a way of managing your nutrients as well. And so being able to put those nutrients on closer to the crop means the crop uses them rather than and decrease the possibility of loss. For the most part, we lose very few nutrients off of every acre. We just have a lot of acres that drain in the Mississippi River and go down to the Gulf of Mexico. But if we're able to put it closer to when it's used, it takes extra trips, it takes extra management, but it can also often be we can use less nutrients and we can get more of those nutrients into that crop. But it takes more work. Sometimes we're even applying nutrients while that crop is growing through a sprayer that's going through when that crop is 6 feet tall or 3 feet tall. And being able to put those nutrients on right when that crop really, really needs it.
As Undersecretary at United States Department of Agriculture, responsible for both the FSA and the NRCS, that has a new joint function. You would be the first Undersecretary that's responsible for those two. I want to talk about some of the sign-ups that are in process. First, because things have been so very delayed this year, farmers still, especially in parts of the Northwest Corn Belt, I think some 64% maybe of the corn left to come out in Fargo or North Dakota. the premiums for crop insurance have been delayed. Why is that the case and when to?
It's delayed until January 31st. So as long as you pay your crop insurance premium by the 1st of February, you won't have any interest accruing. And I know we have some folks that really need that extra time. First of all, some places they don't have the crop out of the field, so they haven't sold a crop and are not able to make that payment. Second of all, in other cases, we have part of the crop out of that field, but when we settle the claim on that field, that's going to end up paying the crop insurance premium. But we haven't been able to do that because we don't have that field finished. Even in an area, you know, even here in Illinois with a greater percentage of the crop harvested, we still have fields that are part harvested and probably some fields that aren't harvested at all. And it really helps us to be able to get that settlement done of that indemnity to be able to apply that towards that crop insurance premium.
When we talked at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention a couple of weeks ago in Kansas City, Missouri, you were concerned that producers needed to get into the FSA offices to sign up or at least to get the paperwork done for ARC and PLC, if not to make their final decisions. Why is that?
We do have that sign up going until March, but I'm sure we got a lot of folks that are going to wait till the end of that. I think it makes sense if you know what you're going to do, go ahead and get signed up. You could actually change your mind and reverse that decision later if you'd like, but you avoid some lines later in the year if you go ahead and make that decision now. That's also the same time we're doing crop insurance decisions and other kinds of things. So it's important to remember we only have a small number of folks that have gone ahead and get that sign up done, but go ahead and do that. And then feel free to change it at the end. That's an easy process if you decide to do that.
And finally, CRP sign-up is coming up again. When does it start, or has it been scheduled at this point? And what's the importance as it relates to the nutrient loss reduction strategy we've been talking about?
So CRP, or 10-year reserve conservation program, conservation reserve program, sign-up will start here in December. We've not announced that start date yet. We're getting very close to being able to announce that. It will be one of our largest general enrollment sign-ups because we have a lot of acres rolling off in 2020, as well as a higher cap. And it can be used in a way that really helps manage nutrients on a farm. It buffers certainly those most sensitive acres that we have. So it has an impact on a nutrient loss reduction strategy. As well as a producer's profitability. Sometimes there's acres that are not very dependable for yield, for profitability on that farm. So it's a very good practice. They can be beneficial. Water quality, wildlife, lots of other practices, certainly control and erosion. That sign-up will start here in December. So be watching for that. More information will come very soon on that.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey joining us here on the Closing Market Report for this Giving Tuesday. Don't forget to pledge your financial support to the ag programming that comes to you here from Illinois Public Media, University of Illinois Extension, willpledge.org, 217-244-9455. On this Tuesday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
So I saw on your Twitter account today, which is at Balloon Weather WX, that there were some high winds you were concerned about. Why don't you start with those, and then we'll make our way into the Corn Belt.
Yeah, we have quite a bit of wind in the wake of the big stormy weather pattern that moved through a lot of the nation over the Thanksgiving holiday period. Some pretty strong winds in the Rockies and Western High Plains, causing some problems for travelers, lots of blowing snow, and some of those gusty winds do extend out into the Western Dakotas. Good news, though, is they will be easing, and there is a little bit of a gap in the weather pattern that will be found across the nation's midsection, including the Northern Plains and including the Corn Belt here. That's going to go through the rest of the week and probably into the start of the weekend. We're going to see a little bit of a break in the weather pattern for a large part of the nation, that's well needed after a very stormy Thanksgiving holiday period.
Well, I'd like to stay with the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, the Dakota, North Dakota in particular, because I'm not sure that everybody else got as much snowfall as they did. And certainly most of the rest of the Corn Belt isn't nearly so far behind in their harvest season. They'll need that snow to be able to get away. I don't know whether that can happen yet this year or not. Maybe you can give me a better idea whether they're looking for good enough weather to melt snow and get some dry conditions so they can harvest corn.
Any significant melting is going to be taking place here over the next 5 to 7 days. It will be warmer. There will be some melting in this fair weather pattern, but as we get into next week and the following 2 weeks, we see some cold air coming in and settling in across the northern plain states and the central part of the United States. It could very well, late next week and the weeks up to Christmas, could be cold for a lot of the nation's midsection, including those areas. So it's going to be very difficult to get those northern plains areas that have seen the snow pile up to get rid of it anytime soon, I'm afraid to say.
Here in the great state of Illinois, there is still corn to harvest, and while USDA has reported no soybeans left to harvest, I've heard from enough producers to say, yeah, we have soybeans still out. Will County seems to be the center of that, which is near Chicago. What's that northern tier of counties in Illinois look like over the next week?
Looks good. I think that, generally speaking, mild, dry conditions are going to be moving in. This is going to be a really good opportunity, and one, if possible, needs to be seized, because as we get into the middle part of next week, as early as Tuesday, but certainly by Wednesday and Thursday of next week, it's going to get wintry again. We do see some snow, and we see temperatures falling in that area you just mentioned sharply by next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the opportunity should be taken advantage of over the next week to 10 days, especially the next week. By the middle of next week, things begin to change.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this third day of December. It's Giving Tuesday. I hope you take the opportunity right now to make your pledge of financial support to Illinois Public Media for the ag programming that it brings to you each and every business day of the year. Now, if this makes a difference to you and has for a very long or for a very short time, go ahead and make that pledge right now. You can do it easily enough at 217-244-9455 or at willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. Whatever amount you decide to give today on this Giving Tuesday as we go into the holiday season would be fantastic. I do thank you for taking the time and spending it with me, whether that's on the air or as a podcast, however you listen to our programming. It does make a difference to us. And by the way, when you're talking to those folks at 217-244-9455 or online making that pledge at willpledge.org, be sure to mention that they should put in support of agriculture right there in the comments section. So you can do that either with the folks on the phone line or right there on the form at willpledge.org. But please do make sure you tell them that you're making your pledge, your donation in support of agriculture here at Illinois Public Media on this Giving Tuesday. Now, the other thing that I'd like you to do is to visit our website at willag.org, and there you'll find a link to register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We're not very far away now from this Ag Econ Seminar that's coming to a city near you. We'll be in Mount Vernon, Springfield, East Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. You can find all the details online. I'll be traveling with the Ag Economist the week of December the 16th. The cost is just $80. And I hope to see you there.